I'm Mike McGowan, and as you may or may not know, I'm the executive director of NOAA. I've been involved for a long time with the organization, and I am a person with albinism. And so one of the things that, you know, we want to emphasize is that the spring fundraiser Bowl-a-thon, now that we've been doing this for, I think we're in our 14th year, is a critical part of NOAA. Over half of our income comes from the Bowl-a-thon, and that it's you know, hugely important for NOAA to continue to be able to do what we do. This year, we redid the website as far as the Bowl-a-thon and spring fundraiser information is concerned, and there's a lot of good resources on there. We were able to talk with the company that does the peer-to-peer fundraising platform. The company is called DonorView. We asked them to make some improvements from last year to make that interface with users a little bit easier and a little bit cleaner. So if you had problems setting up pages in the past or whatever, you hopefully will have a better experience this year. And we've put together a bunch of information on the website that I think you would find helpful in doing an event. And the last thing that I wanted to say by way of introduction was that we're, and as you said, Rauta, you are an accountant and you have a busy season. There's no magic as to when an event happens or the type of event. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and NOAA's here to help you. So we really appreciate everything that you guys do and helping out, and we're here to provide you whatever resources we can to make that work for you. So I guess then, do you all have any questions that you would want us to, or who want me, because there is no us, to answer? Oh, who joined?
That's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Mike.
We have Ashley from New York on with us, and Rauta from Portland. And
wonderful.
Your timing is amazing, because I just finished the introduction, and well, I'll continue the introduction by saying Elizabeth is a person with albinism who is currently living in South Carolina, just moved there from the D.C. area, and is a member of our board and is coordinating our spring fundraiser Bowl-a-thon effort for the second or third year in a row, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we were at the point where I was just asking these lovely ladies if they have any questions for us.
I guess this is Rhoda in Portland. Just for fundraising in general is kind of new to me, and like how to get, you know, if people don't want to, or I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, if we're planning to do the Bowl-a-thon type of event, not necessarily the neighborhood one, and how to get the word out and raise funds, even if people don't want to come. I'm thinking, you know, like, Malin has preschool, and so we'll network there, and then maybe with her TVI. I'm not sure if you have any other tips about how to generate donations, I guess.
Well, I think the first thing is that, as I referenced a minute or two ago about the fundraising peer-to-peer portal, by setting up a page, that's one way that you can then direct people in your network to that page to either attend the event or to make a donation. You know, there's all sorts of different ways that this is done. One of our more successful fundraisers, as a board member, Elliot Ostrove and his wife Randy, they do all of their fundraising just by using that online portal. They do their own little low-key event, where as a family they go bowling, but they just then email and, you know, whatever to their network of friends and simply tell them how important Noah is to them, and, you know, and they ask for donations that way. There's other ways that that happens, you know. So if one of the things that Noah does is we will promote your, you know, if you set up an event, we will promote it in your area by sending postcards to all our contacts and posting it on the website and, you know, highlighting it with, you know, emails to everybody, again, in your area. So that happens a couple of, you know, there's different ways that, that there's different dynamics when that happens. Sometimes there are other people in the area, in your area, that when they see that you're doing something, you know, maybe they weren't brave enough to, you know, to start out on their own, but they're willing to join up with you. I think that, if I'm correct, Elizabeth, did Joni talk about a couple of different people in Portland that she was thinking about trying to get together?
There are a few people in Portland. And
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's
okay. Trying to cut you off.
I didn't know if you knew them. And
maybe
we can, like, help you know who's around, you know,
yeah,
who might also be willing to chip in and help out.
Joni reached out to me herself and on Facebook and kind of mentioned, and then I told her I've actually created a Portland area albinism group to try and get us connected around here so people at least can, you know, even if it's not a NOAA event or something else, try to organize a little bit.
That's wonderful.
So I think she's trying to help filter people to that to, you know, increase the information, I guess, access to information.
Right. And if you do, you know, if you do a get together or something, you know, other than a fundraiser in the area, if you contact Lori at info@albinism.org, she'd again be happy to get that word out, you know, as, you know, just to let people know that, you know, you're trying to get people in the area together.
And
okay.
Yeah, about the fundraising question, if I could jump in, I guess I think of it as three kind of ways you can help communicate that it's a fundraiser, without being, you know, pushy or anything like that, which nobody wants to be. So one is just like in the promotion of your event that you just outright say it's a, you know, it's Noah's spring fundraising season and we really support this organization. And so we're going to hold a fundraising event. It's going to be at this place this time. Just come on out. We're going to have a lot of fun together. And, you know, and so you've at least said it, and you might even say, if anybody asks you, you're not going to be pressuring anybody or anything like that, but you're going to have a lot of fun, bring everybody together. It's a fundraiser for Noah. So that's one thing, that you just say it in your promotion. And then another thing is that at your event, you can have giving information there. So if you've got a registration table or something, or if you're having a dinner or a party or whatever it is, that however you're giving things out, so if it's like a dinner, it might be at each plate, you know, or if it's a bowl-a-thon, you might have a table where people kind of sign in or something, that you also at that spot have giving information that Noah provides, and maybe you have a little sign that just says, you know, how can you support Noah or something, and you've got little giving envelopes, you've got information about how people can make their donation online, and you're not,
okay,
you know, so it's just there, so it's like another reminder and opportunity for people to give. And so, and then we have information, Lori can send little cards, and then on the digital images and those resources, you can pull some things from there as well. Like I took Mike's end of year letter that he sends out to everybody, and I just sent that to Costco, and for like $9, they blew it up to poster size, and I just displayed that, and it just says basically, here are all the ways that your funds support NOAA. You know, we send out welcome kits. And
right, and we turn that into, you know, part of the resources that I mentioned that are on the website. We turn that that idea into a kit that you can ask Lori to send you. But there's two ways you can do it. One, the website has different sizes of the poster that you can either print yourself, or you can ask us to mail out a package to you of information cards about NOAA as well as the poster.
So we have the one thing is the event promo that you say it in that. The second thing is that at the event you've got some like fundraising support materials that are there. And the third thing, which is probably the most powerful thing you can do, is and it's why an event is such a special thing, is that you, as the event leader, you're kind of encouraging grassroots efforts. You're encouraging the really the kind of NOAA champions that are coming to your event. You encourage them to do their own fundraising ahead of time. So it could be through the peer-to-peer pages that Mike is talking about. But like if it's your your daughter's preschool or something, you can do it like old-fashioned Girl Scout style or something and send her in with a little clipboard, and she can show her teachers and say, hey, I'm trying to raise money for NOAA or whatever, and they can put their pledge down, however you want to do it. But because it's really cool when kids and other people show up with the support that they've been able to raise in their various spheres of influence. Like one person had a little jar out in the office. Not all offices will let you do that, you know, but had a jar out in the office, and people gave to that. So then she came in with, like, you know, $200 that she ended up sending into NOAA. And then a kid had for his birthday, he said, for my birthday, I'd like you to support NOAA. So he had like $132.12 or something. So, but those things all add up. So the grassroots stuff is the really powerful part of it. So, and then I guess the confusing part to a lot of people doing a bowl-a-thon or something is that you're selling tickets, and you're out of those tickets, you're trying to pay for the bowling and all that stuff. So the tickets are probably not the vehicle for the fundraising. It's just a way to get people there, you know, so then your fundraising is separate from that.
Okay, so you can kind of think about it in two separate, that does. Because sometimes it's like trying to think of like, okay, I'm doing this bowl-a-thon, I want people to come, how am I tying in the fundraising, am I, you know, because if you're paying to go bowling, it's like, what's the expectation? But if you kind of think of it, I guess, in two different, like, there's the fundraising piece, and then there's just the social gathering part.
The cost, right.
One of the things that we like to point out about doing the events is there's really three purposes to it. One is obviously the fundraising. Two is the it gives you an opportunity to educate your family and friends about albinism, and three, it is an opportunity for the albinism community in your area to get together. And so they're, you know, it's not just to raise the money. I mean, there are other benefits to that. And as Elizabeth said, I think that, you know, and this is something that I learned, 20 some years ago when we did our first fundraiser here in Illinois, was that idea of, you know, thinking that you're going to make money on, charging somebody to come to the bowling event, because by the time that you pay the bowling alley, as Elizabeth said, there really isn't, you know, you have to make the price kind of high in order for NOAA to make any money. What you're really looking at is other little things around that. So if you do have a bowling event, you might want to have a raffle, or a silent auction or something along those lines, in addition to encouraging the people that are there to, you know, to do a donation to NOAA. Did you join us, Joni?
Yes, I did.
My
timekeeping skills aren't very good today.
So anyway,
Rhoda, you don't have to do the extra things.
Okay.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let Joni know that we have Rhoda and Elizabeth and Ashley from New York. New York. Oh my God, my mom can't work today.
I'll chime in on the bowling and raffle thing. Just my first year, and Mike and some of the Chicago people actually came up and, you know, joined us to bowl. Actually, I think maybe my first 2 years, I only did bowling because I was nervous about anybody coming. And then, you know, I gradually added the raffle in, and it's become much more of a moneymaker. Although even still, most of ours comes from donations.
That's what I was wondering about, was raffles or getting sponsors or something, and then, like, to sponsor a lane or, I don't know.
I don't do that. Then, I know people
do,
a few people do, but it's...
Is it a bit much?
That's a personal choice.
Well,
okay.
it's whatever you're comfortable doing, you know.
Yeah,
and,
right. Okay.
You know, we have the resources on the website that, you know, for example, there are a couple of different letters that you can use to get donations from local businesses that, you know, might provide a raffle item. Or, you know, if you wanted to get into the sponsorship thing, you could. But we're not, like I said at the beginning, we want you to do it the way that you're most comfortable with. And, you know, maybe if this is your first time, maybe starting slow is okay. But, hey, if you want to jump in, you can do it any way you want.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably going to be like I need to get it down a few years and then see about that.
Right.
You're asking the right question. I mean, your question is right at the heart of everything, Rhoda. So, I mean, it was a great question.
Right. And I think starting slow might help just to see if there are people in the area. And so now, Joni, that you're on, you guys have communicated, you know, Joni can help you with people that are in the Portland area if you want to do that.
Now, could I ask a question? Ashley in New York. Ashley, what's your last name, if you don't mind my asking?
It's Herzig.
Okay. So I don't think we've spoken, have we?
I don't think so.
Okay. So are you part of an event that's happening?
No. So I'm also, here with my mom.
Hi, I'm Diane.
Oh, hi, Diane. Welcome.
Hi, Diane.
she just came in, so she's here too now. But yeah, so this is my first time hosting an event, and I looked to see if there were any going on in New York because it's such a big city. I figured something would be going on, and there wasn't anything. So that's why I decided to host something and to start something there. So I guess, like, my mom and I are just kind of curious, like, New York is such a big city. Like, how, like, where do we even begin? Because it's kind of overwhelming with just, I mean, there have to be other people with albinism in the city. So I guess, like, aside from Noah, like, how else do we reach them?
Well, I think we have a ton of people that are in New York. The problem with getting things together in New York is deciding where to do it, because it's such, are you in Brooklyn, Manhattan? Are you up in Westchester? Are you out on Long Island? Are you, you know, across the river in Jersey? You know, there's so many considerations, because a lot of people will say, well, if you do it in, you know, Manhattan, oh, well, we got to get to Manhattan, or, you know. So where exactly in the area do you live?
So I live in Manhattan. But my family's in New Jersey, so across the river. But, yeah, so we kind of have, like, thrown around the idea of, like, well, where would we host it? And I haven't looked into any of that yet, because I wanted to wait until this call to kind of see what you guys said and just to kind of talk it over more.
You know what, Ashley? I would just let you know that in the last 2 years, so this is my third year, in the last 2 years, it's been really hard to get somebody in New York, and I think they have that overwhelmed feeling of, like, I don't know where to start. So if someone will start, I think you just, sometimes the perfect is the enemy of the good, you know what I mean? Like, people maybe want it to be just perfect and reach everybody, so they hesitate and don't do anything. So I think if you wherever you feel comfortable and where whatever is like the kind of activity that would appeal to you, just do that and then see who comes and put it out there and kind of go from there and just to get something going. Because there are so many people up there connected with NOAA that I feel like you get a good response.
Okay.
And have a lot of support from that.
Yeah, one thought that I have is that, you know, in our recruiting of folks, there is a family, and I forget exactly where in New Jersey they are, the Kyung family. Angie and Johnny Kyung have two boys with albinism. They're, I think, like 6 or 5 and 7 or 5 and 8, something like that. Angie has been involved and has tried to do local organization. We did a mini conference, I think, in, I forget which year it was. It might have been, oh, I don't remember, 2011, 2009, something like that, that Angie did. So she may be someone. She's not thinking much about a bowl-a-thon. She was thinking more about maybe mini golf. So I don't know if you'd be interested in us connecting with her. You
know,
maybe
definitely.
You could figure something out.
Yeah, that would be really great.
I love it that you're thinking about it, because that would be I think it would be a great benefit to that whole community up there. So
yeah, and then
I'm very
there's
glad.
There's another family, the Schaefers, there in Massapequa, and they're thinking about doing an event as well. So we're trying, you know, and it, as long as they're not on the same day, it may not be bad to have a couple of different events in New York, because,
yeah,
you know, in different parts of the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
So way to go.
This is the mom.
I mean,
and
wonderful.
So how does one even get started? Is somebody talking? No.
Do we just go to the bowling alley and just kind of line this up and go from there? Is that how you begin?
Yeah, I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out where you're comfortable, you know, and just start exploring dates that would work with the bowling alley, and if they'll make a good, maybe they'll make a good price for you. And then when you feel like you've got some of those details in hand, if you just let us know, then Lori she'll put your event information on the website, and then she can help advertise the event to all the NOAA people in the area, so you don't even have to do that.
Okay.
So, and Joni is really good with, like, helping people get those details, like making sure all those details are in and all that stuff. And do you have anything to add to that, Joni?
Honestly, as far as getting started, I think you're right. You know, pick what you like to do, if it's bowling or if it's something else. You know, the location and the time, you know, you're in charge. You're in the driver's seat. You're, you know, creating the event. So you get to pick when and where.
So what was you've worked with a couple of different bowling alleys or just one bowling alley, Joni?
No, I'm on my second one. That first one, that large one, that one was much more difficult. No, the people at the bowling alley were nice, but they were, you know, corporate AMF, and I had to do, like, you know, be much more specific. They did ask for, like, a much more specific number of people ahead of time. I had to put down, like, a half of the total amount deposit. That bowling alley closed. The one I work with now is much easier. They give me a really good deal per person. I don't have to pay anything up front. It's, you know, so it does maybe pay to, you know, if you're not getting something that you feel is within the realm of what's a good price or a good deal where you're at. And that is varies by location too. Call around.
How do you judge,
you know, whether
the
number of
people coming?
Mm-hmm.
How do you judge How do you judge the number of people coming?
It was a total crapshoot the first time, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had to just go with, you know, well, maybe nobody from NOAA will show up. That was my mindset.
You know, I think
of my family and the people that I would know, and then I added a few. I think I maybe went with 20 or 25, and I think I hit 20 on the head the first time.
So, maybe what you could do is you could say, think about it. It's like, okay, you want to get four lanes. So that could be, you know, anywhere from 16 to 20 people bowling. And then as you work on the, you know, on setting the date and advertising it, you could ask people to let you know whether they're coming, or, you know, even sell, you know, you can sell the tickets ahead of time. And that way, then you can say to the bowling alley, well, I'll guarantee you I'll probably be able to do four for sure. But if I let you know a week or two or in advance, can I up that in case you get more than will fit on the four lanes?
Yeah.
And that's a good point. I made sure right away now, you know, when I was looking for the second bowling alley, that I had more flexibility. Okay, I anticipate this many people, but within, you know, I'll reserve it a couple months ahead of time, or even 3 months this year. This is how many I'm anticipating. If that changes in either direction, I will let you know ahead of time so that we can, you know, is that going to work with you? And if they're,
you know what,
you know, look for somebody that's got a little bit of flexibility, I guess.
Yeah. And maybe, like, so I've just moved to a new place, and I'm in the same situation that you're in, Diana and Ashley, because I don't know how many people would show up, and I don't know where to have an event, and I'm kind of, like, fumbling around trying to figure it out. So I'm just going to talk. I'm thinking of places that I'm going to be looking for a place that would give me some flexibility. So if I don't get flexibility from a bowling alley, like I've got to make a commitment for the number ahead of time and all that stuff, I'm going to check with something like one of those kind of arcade pizza places or something and just say, you know, okay, well, for this first year, I'm going to have just a family, you know, pizza night or whatever, and just have space reserved in the back or something, and so that I don't have to put a lot of money on the line or some big commitment or something. So I'm going to have to be looking for flexibility. But I feel like I can find something, and I'm going to just try to keep my expectations low for this first year and just get something going. So,
okay. That's helpful.
And you'll probably get more response than you think you will, you know, so that's
right.
That'll be
definitely
great.
Okay.
And I think one of the key points for you all is that please, as you're going through this, if you have questions, you can reach out to us, and we can help you if you run into something and you're wondering, you know, well, what should you do? We can help, because there are many different ways that this is done. You know, you may find out when you go to these bowling alleys that they're, especially the first time out, they might ask you for a deposit. So you're going to have to make that decision of whether you want to, if you want to front that money yourself or work with us to sell tickets or whatever. You know, there's so many different ways that it can go. And the main thing is that we're here to help with that, and we want to support you in figuring out how to do it.
Yep.
Okay, good.
So those are great questions. That's the kind of tension that everybody, I think, feels when they're getting ready to organize one. It's like, don't know where to start, don't know how many people to expect. And I haven't had good – people don't, in my experience, have not RSVP'd. So that's like
– I second that.
No. I'm going to be checking with – I have a pediatrician friend here, and she said that she has patients with albinism, and so I'm going to be asking her to just communicate with her other pediatrician friends that I'm going to be putting together something for people with albinism. And so, you know, they can share that with their patients, and an ophthalmologist, to just let the ophthalmologist know that, hey, if you have patients with albinism, and want to let them know we're having an event. So, because not everybody's connected to NOAA yet. So I think somebody had asked about getting the word out. So
that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I always love
ophthalmologist
and optometrist. Well, mostly I see an optometrist now. I always send her one of my flyers, because you never know what might end up. She might open it and an hour later have a new person with albinism walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where that connection might come.
And you might walk into a dentist office and find a connection like you did. Or was it dentist or a doctor?
Yeah. That was dentist. I was going to the dentist, and I was checking in, and the receptionist said my name, typed it in, put her hands on the counter, took a breath and looked at me and said, I don't remember exactly what she said, but I could tell something was up. And then she says, my daughter has albinism. You're the one having the bowl-a-thon, aren't you? Or something to that effect.
Wow.
And she not only did she come to mine, which was a couple weeks later, she 2 days later drove down to Bloomington, Illinois, where I was going to another one, which is, I don't know, a drive. It's shorter than on the train, but still it's, you know, 4 hours maybe.
Good at 3-4 hour drive, yeah.
3-4 hour drive, just so her daughter could be around people with albinism and be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we spent the whole day with them, as I remember, right?
Right, and then they came to the one here, and then the girl had her quinceanera, and I ended up going to that.
I wonder, are there other questions, Rhoda and Diana and Ashley?
No, I don't have any. This is Rhoda. I don't have any more.
Nope. We're going to have to think about. Yeah.
These are important places that we've really wanted to have a stronger community kind of in action together. So I'm just delighted that we're talking to Portland and New York today. I mean, this is.
Yay.
This is great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very
if you
excited
all,
about that.
I don't know if you've all looked at the website. We have a map. We've been using a map for the whole time that we've been doing the bowl-a-thons. But this one is kind of cool. It's interactive. And when we get an event set up in a state, we get to color that state in. And we like to have a lot of the states filled in. So New York and Oregon would be good to have filled in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or New Jersey.
Well,
whatever. We could live with that.
Yeah.
I think. Wait a minute. Do we already have New Jersey? Do we have New Jersey?
Yeah, I think
we have
New
Jersey.
Jersey is,
we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christine DeGuglione, yeah. She's got like a gym, baby gym kind of place that she has her event at. So it's like preschool. A lot of preschool families would be attracted to that event. So, and we have events that are just for adults, and we have events that are mostly for families. And so they're just whatever the NOAA member wants to do, the NOAA member can do, really. So,
and
yeah.
We do have events that are in close proximity to each other, you know, say within an hour or so from each other. We just, those people try to avoid scheduling on the same day so that, you know, they can go and support each other at their events too. Just, you know, more time to socialize and get to know people.
And I think this year in the D.C. area, they're going to have a potluck at a park. That's the discussion happening. So, and they wanted to do that because the bowling alley in the D.C. area was just expensive. So five people in a family would come bowling at $75, and it just feels heavy to some people. So they're going to do something that's going to kind of take that sort of overhead cost out. But the possibilities are just endless, you know, for what you could do.
Right. And again, on the resource part of the website, there's a list of different things other than a bowl-a-thon that you can, you know, a bowling event that you can do.
That other people have done before,
yeah.
Yep.
And you might think up something completely different.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. This was really helpful.
Well, thank you all for making the time. All right. Well, we wish you luck. And for the 99th time on the call, I'm going to offer our help whenever needed.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey,
and
thank
our huge
thanks,
thanks
everyone.
Too.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Great.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.